Hello, everyone. Welcome to a new episode of House of House, Gaiden, Home of Homes. I'm Lenny Burnham.
And I'm Andrew Taven. And on this week's, or bi-week's episode, we are talking about it's called like the Boscombe Valley incident, right? It's a Sherlock Holmes story about an incident in the Boscombe Valley. Boscombe something incident. Sorry, I'm just double checking.
I don't have my book in front of me.
The Boscombe Valley mystery. Don't worry. It's fine. Okay. The Boscombe Valley mystery. If you're sitting there, you're like, wait, am I listening to the wrong Boscombe Valley episode? No. This is the Boscombe Valley mystery. Don't worry. And in this one, there is a murder that happened, and a handsome young man is accused of killing his father, but Holmes is convinced it is not this young man, and the young man's beloved lady is brought Holmes in to try and clear his name, and it turns out that, what a surprise, it's the other character in the story who actually did the murder. Because they, it's almost like a JoJo's-esque situation where there was
I have to plug my computer in, but you can keep.
Yeah, no worries. It's like where a character was a robber, a highwayman, much like Dio's father, and held someone up, but instead of like a misunderstanding where the guy thought the highwayman was his rescuer, he just like memorizes his face, and then I'm trying to think of what a good comparison would be. It's like a Rick of a Rick and Morty-esque revenge sort of plot where he like moves next door to this guy back in England and like demands that he just support him forever.
He's blackmailing him with absolutely nothing other than that he memorized his face, and this guy never had the idea to like let him go to the authorities and then be like, no, it wasn't me.
Yeah, I didn't do that. I mean, I guess if they did an investigation and then they like looked into it. It is wild. Like, I honestly don't know that much. Sorry, Australian listeners, but I don't know that much about the history of Australia. In America, you're mostly just taught that like, it was a prison colony. And so like, I know eventually like people started going there for other reasons, but I think if you go to Australia, you should expect to be absconded by highwaymen. Like, that's who they were sending there, wasn't it? That also, I mean, obviously every case of, you know, colonization and displacement is bad, but it's gotta be especially rough when it's like, oh, so you must also be displacing us because you found out our land is full of, you know, bountiful majesty that you want to use for wealth. They're like, no, this is where we're sending all our criminals. Like, that's, I mean, Australia, of course, does have a lot of actual beauty and stuff. And, you know, I'd love to visit there one day. But, yeah, gotta be rough when it's like, no. We aren't here for, we're not going to exploit you for spices or silk or whatever. We just need a place to send just the worst people in England, which is saying something, am I right? They should have just let them be in charge then. Be like, all right, well, you have to work for the natives. That would have been, see, this is a forward thinking idea that everyone should have gotten on board with, but too late now. Anyway, I don't know that much about Australian history. Sorry if that was an offensive characterization in some way. Two natives. I don't care if I offend Australians. You can fly all the way here, cross the entire goddamn planet if you want to find me. Good luck. Burrow all the way through to get here. I'm fine. This one starts off with Holmes with Watson like hanging with his wife.
Yeah, I love that it mentions that he's married to some lady who's like, no, you go. You haven't seen Sherlock Holmes in a while. You should go.
I also, it's, so at one point, so he leaves, like, hanging out with his wife on some journey where he's, like, not checking the papers, where they're just having a lovely time. He leaves to go meet up with
Holmes.
Yeah,
he's like, no, I have a lot of work. And she's like, no, you don't.
Yeah. And then at one point, Holmes, like, is the detective Lestrade, who Holmes just is always fucking clowning on.
Yes, that's definitely the best part of this story. Yeah.
He's like, oh, hey, sorry, Watson. They said only me and Lestrade could go question the guy in jail. And so Watson, like, came all the way here for him. It's like...
Yeah. Sherlock does not pretend that Watson can help with this mystery. Like, at one point, Watson is like, oh, I'm a doctor. I could look at the medical examiner's notes. But that wasn't Holmes's idea. Holmes was just like, you have to come out here and get a hotel room with me, but not do detective stuff. If I have to leave you alone for a couple hours, I'll, like, worry about it like you're my dog.
It feels like if you've ever been in the situation where someone's like, oh, yeah, come visit me here or whatever, and you do, but then, like, they had other plans and they, like, didn't tell you. So you're, like, hanging around their house. Like, it's not happened too often. I can think of one example in my head when this happened. And so they, like, had other plans. So you're just, like, hanging around their house and kind of, like, you know, you end up, like, I don't know, talking to their grandfather or something. And you're just like, yeah, I don't know. This is kind of weird. He's just like, and I was reading a novel. So you're reading a book about someone reading a book. And he's just like, and then I got bored of it. And I was saying, and I'm like, it's just so funny to me that it's like, did Conan Doyle was like, and of course, Watson is our point of view character. But Watson didn't get to go to the jail. Oh, well, I guess we just have to have him dick around a little. Like, you could have done anything. Why don't we stick? I don't know if it's to put you in the.
It could, like, he could even just have been like, Holmes told me what happened at the jail. Here's the rest of the story.
Yeah.
Instead of being like, so I was sitting around the hotel room bored.
Yeah, I was there. I was. It was too early in history for me to have any phone games to mess around with. So I'm just there. So the whole thing, because they get there and people had observed that this, you know, the father was beamed in the back of the head, dead. He'd argued with his son. And then people, like, the son was, like, found near the father's. People saw the argument, and then, like, a little later, the son was like, ah, my dad's dead. And everyone's like, that's suspicious. And so, you know, so Holmes is, like, talking to the different people. And it's also wild that – I feel bad because I'm sure – Sarah, if you're listening to any of these, I'm sorry I don't – love them. I feel bad. Like, I'm like, you're listening now. Like, I feel like this is the first one that's had, like, a murder, and it somehow feels, like, even less compelling to me. Like, so the guy was murdered. They think it's his son. The son's arrested in jail. His sweetheart wants, in a house-esque twist, there's these young sweethearts who have some reason why someone thinks they shouldn't be together. But not in this case, not because of incest. That would have been a twist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I honestly, like, they, I mean, not the Monday morning author back here, but that would have been a twist. I mean, no, instead it's that they for some reason they observe the crime scene, like, last. Also, I found that weird. He's, like, looking around for footprints, and I'm like, this feels like the first thing he should have done. What if it rained? Like, why is this the last thing they seem to do? Especially because once they observe the crime scene, Holmes is like, oh, okay. Well, I clicked on all the clues, and I know the answer. Like, that was all I think he needed to do, because he's, like, left-handed guy. They greeted each other by saying didgeridoo, mate, or whatever. They said some Australian greeting. And also, it is also a little funny because Holmes is like, I had someone, you know, however you would do this before Google. He's like, I had the constabulary send me the library copy of the...
I think I know what you're talking about. He says, like, officer of constabulary, which I was like, that can't fucking be real, England.
Yeah. They also refer to the court as, like, the Azizes. I don't know if that's, like, a district or something. But he, Holmes also has an interesting personal morality sense. Like, I kind of like House, similarly, that he doesn't really let his own sense of personal morality mess with the job too much. Like, he clearly, you know, has opinions, but he's like, you know, scamming your boss to try and steal a bunch of gold, not great. But if you're doing it in a sort of clever way, then somewhat appreciable. Catfishing your daughter-in-law, worst thing you can do. Murdering someone to cover up the fact that you are a highwayman for a long time. Not great. It's sort of like the Detective Crashmore, like, well, it's not good behavior.
Like, yeah, yeah, that was one of my favorite things about this story. It was like, after he finds out the guy did it, he's like, I don't care. Like, write a murder confession, but I'm not gonna turn you in. Yeah. I don't give a shit.
That's not my job.
Yeah.
Because he's like, oh, well, you know, you'll have to face a higher court, because the guy is like, oh, I'm so close to death. I have diabetes, which I don't know if this was just like pre-insulin, I guess. I mean, I don't think of, like, obviously, you know, you'd rather not have diabetes than have diabetes. But it was an odd disease for him to be like, well, my time's almost up. I have diabetes, from a modern lens. I mean, I guess presumably... you didn't have insulin treatment, or, you know, you couldn't regulate your blood sugar, or I don't know, maybe it led to something else. I feel like the typical, it's not your usual, you know, coughing blood onto a handkerchief that you get, but, it feels like a more modern disease, even though I know obviously people have had diabetes throughout history, but it feels like, somehow a more modern disease. Like, if, the guy was just like, oh, I've got Lou Gehrig's disease or something. And like, oh, okay.
Someday there'll be a sport. There'll be a player named Lou Gehrig.
bad news. Do you think when they it was a really big mistake for his parents to name him Lou Gehrig. They kind of signed the warrant there a little bit. Not a wise choice. So this guy, they were in Australia together, and Holmes identifies that the guy had, like, a limp, and he was smoking a certain kind of tobacco. Holmes at one point is like, I have documented all the different kinds of tobacco.
Yeah.
Like, sure. Again, it feels like any one of these clues, like, you got his boots, right? Like, I don't know, you have his footprints. Again, I get that, like, from a modern, you know, you have the issue where I remember reading something that was like, oh, it's a big problem with juries, that juries watch, like, Law and Order, and they think that, like, you know, DNA crime scene science is, like, this slam dunk thing, when actually, and they come into court, and the reality is, like, you know, oh, I don't know, there's a 33% chance that this blood belonged to someone of this, you know, where it's like, not the kind of slam dunk thing they want. But, like, I don't know, for the sake of this story, where, again, there's, like, one other guy who also, by the way, is like, oh, if it got to the point where he would have, I was already planning to come forward if it ever got to the point that he was, you know, going to, like, be convicted. Holmes did in the end help, because he's like, and then Holmes went to court and he did, like, Phoenix Wright stuff to be like, you know, objection, but the I'm now trying to think. So he has a lot of evidence in terms of what the of the reasons why it would be the guy it was. But I don't actually – I'm trying to think what actual exculpatory evidence is there beyond, well, there was another person there who I can't tell you who it is. Yeah,
they're super vague about it. They're just like, there were things Sherlock said that got him off.
Because I'm trying to think, like, okay, so he – like, because one of the things that this guy, so it turns out he was already married to a barmaid. He got, like, a Vegas wedding. And so he's like, oh, the, he was out of town and his father wouldn't have known he was in town. And so the fact that his father greeted him, or, like, he couldn't have been greeting his son. It's very like, I don't know, I don't, other than we know that the different person did it and there was evidence that there was another person there. I guess the left-handed thing, they sort of make a thing of like, he's left-handed, so he, and the guy, because he killed him with a rock, which Sherlock Holmes, I guess, just picks up with his hands. Back then, that was fine.
Yeah, I was talking to Sarah, she was like, that's one of my favorite things is that he just, like, picks up a murder weapon and carries it around like it's his pet all day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just have my murder rug.
So I guess, did they stay, I don't remember if they get into, like, because he's like, oh, it could have been the butt of the gun, but I guess the butt of the gun probably didn't have any blood on it, and they were like, eh, I could have cleaned it. I don't recall if the, but like, I don't know. There's very little exculpatory evidence.
Yeah, it feels like if this was, like, a modern American story, it would be that he just, like, gave the jury a shadow of a doubt, but I don't even know if that was, like, a thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm curious. Like, part of me wants to look, like, what's the standard for conviction in England. I'm going to go out on a limb and say I'm sure it probably had similar origins to, like, the American system. Since probably the colonial system was whatever, you know, had some similarity to the British system and then built out from that. But yeah, I mean, the fact also of beyond a reasonable doubt, I mean, you know, I feel like the conception of reasonable doubt is also something that, and I'm saying this as though I'm like commenting on, you know, world building in a piece of media, when in fact, like, I'm aware that pages and pages and pages of legal study and philosophical study and cognitive and everything, like, you know, to determine what is or is not reasonable doubt. And I'm sure it's been, you know, put up to the Supreme Court and everything. I mean, like, there's a lot of, like, could the, you know, could the dad have tripped and fallen and hit his head on a rock? I mean, presumably no, because I guess he fell forwards. But I don't know. Maybe he rolled over as he was dying. Like, it feels like there's a lot of, like, reasonable doubt you could inject.
Right.
Which I think is I mean, it's both more than and less than, because in TV and media, it's always, like, you know, it's very planned what the reasonable doubt would be and the parameters of that. Whereas in real life, you can be like, there was that case recently where that, that like YouTube quote unquote prankster, did you see about this? Mm-mm. So this YouTube prankster guy, was like playing a song on his phone or something. I forget exactly what it was. He was playing something on his phone and following this guy around a food court and shoving his face. You know, because, like, you know of these, like, YouTube pranksters who just do a shitty, annoying thing to people.
Right.
Like, they'll be like, prank, I, you know, pulled on a stranger's shirt in public. I'm just going around doing this. So he's just putting this phone, playing this thing in. And the guy, apparently for 40 minutes, filming him going around this for 40 minutes, and the guy pulls out a gun and shoots him.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and so they have it on video. He's filming it. Guy pulls out a gun and shoots him. The guy gets acquitted by the jury. There's, like, no like, given, like, the scope of the law, there's, like, no legal reading where you could be like, oh, self-defense, you know, like, whatever, right. That guy's being really annoying. But, you know, a jury could just decide, like, no, it shouldn't be legal to do that, and someone should be allowed to try and kill you. like, that should just be, like, to which, like, to some degree, that's the point of juries, right? Like, that you can have, you know, jury nullification in this case. Like, the, so, like, yeah, if you just argue that someone is, I don't know, justified enough, then that all goes out the window, which is, you know, funny in terms of trying to put that in, like, a fictional context. Yeah, no, I mean, I'm trying to think what other specific details happen. I'm almost like, if we think again, you know, putting in terms of the stories we've looked through already, you've got the first one, which was not even a mystery, I think, just a little chance for Sherlock Holmes to dress up. And, you know, it's fun that Irene Adler figured it out and there's a little twist at the end. It's more dynamic. Well, the Redhead League is pretty dynamic. The Redhead League, I think, is a pretty dynamic one. You couldn't necessarily figure out the mystery, but it is, like, a fun, weird thing. And you're sort of like, you know, okay, well, yeah, that is a weird thing this guy is having you do. Let's look into this. That's interesting. And then, you know, to some degree with A Case of Identity, I guess. I don't know. This one, it's, like, at the point where it's, like, this doesn't feel like that bizarre a circumstance. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're like, okay, so the circumstance is this guy was murdered and people think it's his son. And it's not like it sort of feels like it's like, it feels like there should, you know, like there's like the concept of like a locked room murder where, a dead body in a room, and what happened. And so there's different, you know, mystery stories that are like, oh, the way that you, I think there's a specific book, if you look up locked room murder, the locked room mystery, the Japanese writer Soji Shimada has been, the earliest example of this is Edgar Allan Poe's The Murders in the Rue Morgue. There's a bunch of examples, but mainly it's that, you know, oh, there's a Sherlock Holmes example. Is one of the 56 short Sherlock Holmes stories, or in the eighth story of 12. And, oh, okay, well, if studios keep it up, maybe we'll get to that one. So we're not that far off. I was, you know, I'm sure it's all negotiating tactics and stuff, but like, yeah, I will get, like, at this point, it's like, what are they doing?
I know.
Cause I honestly think all this, the AI stuff, is sort of a mislead. Maybe less so with actors than writers, but I don't know. Like, that's, to some degree, you can, like, because part, I mean, here we have our usual House Gaiden segment, Andrew and Lenny talk labor. I get on some level that there's a real benefit, and maybe even mostly posthumously, but to being like, you know, hey, a lot of movies, the biggest expense is the cast. Talking about, like, yeah, it's shitty that they're trying to sign away, like, I mean, at this point, you would think those big stars can already just have in their contract, like, I mean, maybe it's supposed to be, like, for the next generation, like, if Marvel wants to be like, oh, we're casting who's a hero they haven't used yet. Dog Boy. I don't know. Have they done Squirrel Girl?
I heard they were gonna with Milana Vantrub for, I think, Freeform, but that was a while ago.
So if they're like, oh, we're casting our Squirrel Girl, Milana Vantrub, she's not powerful enough to, you know, have her contract not say this. We're gonna just have someone... I mean, I don't know. It feels like it's always gonna look bad. Like, I don't know, at some point, like, even no matter how good it gets, like, it just is, it's gonna look like, you saw that clip going around of, like, the prom proposal or something?
Yeah.
Where it's, like, that, like, PS2 crowd member in the background, which, like, in that case, I'm guessing, like, maybe the person they had sitting there was, like, I don't know, they realized they couldn't use their shirt. Or something. Mm. I mean, I have to imagine that was... literally, there's no... They have multiple real people there. Like, there's no reason that... Unless this is, like, an ARG for, like, a Ring sequel or something. Like, I don't know what the possible reason would be that, you know, in that case. Sorry, Reggie. I'm looking at Reggie went back to the couch and he's sort of doing this thing that he'll do where he's trying to organize like the pillows and stuff and blankets on the couch to make himself like a little comfy bed. But sometimes he just ends up in this position where it's like clear that he's not quite sure what the next move is. And then he sort of rubbed his butt against the table. Let's see. Now he's just staring. Are we giving up? Do you know what you're doing? He's just looking around. Oh. This would be so exciting if the listeners could see it. anyway. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what I could probably read about it and find out. At least, like, obviously I'd believe the actors more so than the studios. But it just feels wild after giving... I mean, the writers pretty much getting everything they asked for that, like, I can't imagine what if they just think that they're like, oh, well, we won't need actors for long. Like, when we said we won't need writers for long, we were bluffing. But we really won't need actors for long. Like, who's going to promote your movie? Even all that aside, like, even if you got, like, all right, well, we broke the back of SAG at long last. And now, you know, we can bring Robert Downey Jr. back into Marvel by just having a fake Iron Man, which he's already in the helmet like 99% of the time. But we don't have to pay him. We're just going to have – then you're going to have him out there being like, no, fuck this. Don't watch that. This sucks. It's no good. I don't know. It's all in the good. Whatever. Maybe. But we'll see. Do you want to – let's place a bet. Do you think we'll make it to the adventure of the speckled band?
Okay. How many away is that in your edition of
– Okay. So, yeah. We're going by my edition because, I don't know, I lucked into it. Now we're set this way. So, in mine – all right. The next one is the Five Orange Pips, which sounds like it could have been an alternate name for the Redheaded League. the Man with the Twisted Lip. The Adventure of the Blue Carbuncle. The last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of them are all the Adventure of the Blank. So I don't know why that changed at some point. The Adventure of the Speckled Band. So that's what we're talking about. So we've got Five Orange Pips. So that'd be 2 weeks from Monday. The Man with the Twisted Lip, that's 2 weeks from then. So I guess the question is whether this would take us past the end of the year, because that feels like a decent thing. So Monday is the 16th. 2 weeks from then's the 30th, and that will be the Five Orange Pips. And then November 13th will be The Man with the Twisted Lip. And then November 27th, special Thanksgiving episode, will be The Adventure of the Blue Carbuncle. So it's a question of December 11th would be okay. The Adventure of the Speckled Band. Do we think that the strike will still be going on at the time that we would be recording for the December 11th episode?
Okay, I'm going to say yes, because I feel like holiday season is considered kind of a dead time. So it's like if they haven't settled it by now, I don't know why they wouldn't just wait until January.
Okay. So let's see if you turn out to be right.
I hope I'm not. Yeah, but yeah. That's just my reasoning.
Well, how are they not? They're going to have to film the Christmas specials.
Yeah, I guess.
They, you know, the story of how Owl House saved Christmas. I don't know. I don't know what's on now that would have a Christmas special. Do you have any guess what any of those stories are going to be about? Do you know?
I've read this book before, but the only one I remember of the ones you said is The Speckled Band.
Oh, and that's the locked room one. Yeah. Is it a good one?
It's fun.
Okay. The example, the Murders in the Rue Morgue is, let's see. I forgot that Edgar Allan Poe did detective stories. I think before, well, yeah, I mean, before Holmes or like Poirot.
Yeah, I remember I like read a collection of his stuff and I was like, this is so fucking boring. I don't know why anyone liked this. And then Katie was like, because it's like literally the first detective story. So I was like, okay, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I'd have to imagine because you'd think that if it was interesting, people would be like, oh yeah, Edgar Allan Poe's detective stories. But instead they're just like, oh my God, you got to hear about this Amontillado guy and this,
this bird.
I don't want to spoil it. But something's happening to the House of Usher. A newspaper account of a baffling double murder. Madame L'Espanier and her daughter Camille have been found dead at their home in Rue Morgue, a fictional street in Paris. The mother was found in a yard behind the house with... this is so much more violent than the Sherlock Holmes stuff. She had multiple broken bones and her throat cut so deeply that her head fell off when the body was moved. And Camille was strangled and stuffed upside down to a chimney. Jeez. Okay. The murders occurred in a fourth floor room that was locked from the inside. Wait, I thought they happened in the yard and stuff. They saying they tossed them around? All right. Fourth floor room that was locked from the inside. On the floor was a bloody straight razor, tufts of gray hair, and two bags of gold coins. People heard two voices, one male and French, but disagreed on the language spoken by the other. And no one knew what voice the other one was speaking. A bank clerk named Adolphe Le Bon, who had delivered the gold coins to ladies, and you could name people Adolf back then, is arrested, even though there's no other evidence linking to the crime. Dupin offers his assistance to the prefect of the police. So let's see. Fascinating. What do you think the what do you think the solution is? Do you know this one?
Yeah, I've read the story. Oh, okay. And I still don't remember.
This is wild. So it was an orangutan who did it.
Okay,
who was taken from Borneo.
Now.
And it was trying to, it observed a barber and it was trying to, give them haircuts or shaves. I guess it's pretty impressive to be like, to see those clues and be like, well, an orangutan did it. and to be right, which, I don't know. I like that. Honestly, I'm sure the book, like, reading it's probably boring, because I think that Doyle's praise is, you know, pretty good, but, like, man, that's a better mystery solution to me. That's also a JoJo, that's a JoJo, thing, too, in Stardust Crusaders, where an orangutan, was the one who did it in a certain thing. Wow. Stand using orangutan. Did you, I forget, you've read and watched, one, two, oh, sorry.
Yeah, the first two and Diamond is Unbreakable.
Okay. So three is a longer one, and that one is where they introduce stands. And they only get through like four or five stand users before Araki is like, and one of them's an orangutan. they pretty quickly, they also like, yeah, they pretty quickly go off the wheels, but it's fun. That's great. You know, the, I assume that the, oh, there's themes and analysis too. He said the theme was exercise of ingenuity in detecting a murder. DuPont is not a professional detective. He decides to investigate the murders for his personal amusement. That's a sicko. He even declines a monetary reward from the owner of the orangutan. Okay.
That, I feel like he should be offering that to, like, the victim's family.
Yeah, that does feel like, oh, good, a man came in. A man I can give money to. So the sailor sells the orangutan. Who does he sell a murderous orangutan to at the end? They sell it for, like, to the local Mr. Burns for orangutan meat. Yeah, London had recently established its first federal police forces, and American states began to focus on scientific police work. Yeah. The orangutan's a murderer, while its owner admits he abused the animal with a whip. Well, I feel like the owner's the one at fault here. Upon its release, the murders in the Rue Morgue and its author were praised for the creation of a new profound novelty. That is wild that they were like, it's called, imagine like the local 1853, like local news cry or whatever. They call it the mystery genre. A story where the ending isn't known. Sounds crazy.
I do wish mysteries had just always continued to be figuring out, like, what animal actually did it.
That would be funny if the, that, like, they kept, yeah, it just, they assume that, well, obviously, you, the steps to the genre is you have a murder, you have a set of mysterious circumstances, and you have an animal culprit. And, like, someone wrote, like, the bunny murders, someone wrote, like, the eagle murder, and that just kept going like that. But no, almost immediately they decide that the culprit should be the greatest, most dangerous animal of all, man. Yeah. I'm surprised that the orangutan murder story doesn't get more play, even if it is boring.
Yeah, that's fair.
From, you know, I think Edgar Allan Poe should have put orangutans into more of his stories.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, Cask of Amontillado, just going, Bobo, Bobo, no, Bobo, Bobo, put down brick. Bobo, what are you doing, Bobo? Promise we'll give you banana. We can get Cask of Banana after Bobo leaves alone. I realized I took on a tone of voice and a cadence that was doing sign language for a simian tone. Do you know what I mean? Like, I wasn't actually doing it, but I was like, you know, Bobo, put banana down. Give brick. Stop, you know, fall of the House of Usher, which I read a long time ago and just thought was boring because it's just about, yeah, like, what if there was a spooky house? And it was.
Yeah. All of his stuff, completely agree with Bart Simpson when he's like, you know what, it'd be scarier than nothing, anything.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. Quoth the orangutan. Ooh, 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 ooh. that's back when people were just like, the idea of a spooky corridor was just like, you know, the Saw 3 of the 1800s. Just someone was like, you know, and then it was dark. And, like, I it is a little weird to me because weren't, like, you know, you're starting to get into the early times of electricity, but people had candles. But for the most part, weren't people spending, like, half their lives in dark, spooky corridors? Right? Like, but the idea of just like, oh, there are some cobwebs. There were probably cobwebs everywhere in those times. Like, I don't know. I feel like everyone just lived in a haunted house all the time. Right? Like, I don't know. It's kind of odd to me.
All right. Should we wrap up? I feel like.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. We're coming up
about the story.
I know. It's like, you know, it's short stories. They don't. Do you have a shipping report?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it, but just, like, it is amazing that his wife is like, no, you should go. You miss him. And then when he comes upon Holmes, he's, like, pacing back and forth being like, oh, I wasn't sure if you were going to come. And there's just, like, no pretense of Watson helping with the mystery. Like, it feels like when Watson is like, whoa, I'm a doctor, I'll look at the medical examiner report. Like, it feels like when a, like, naive actor goes to a producer's hotel room and is like, you wanted to talk about the movie, right?
Yeah.
It's like, he didn't ask you to help with this mystery.
Yeah. What do you have any background? What about the character's background? Well, I was thinking it'd be cool if they learned Mahjong from their grandmother at a young age. Yeah, 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 sure. Whatever you want. Let's see. We'll wrap up after we do. I'll do a wiki check, right? We'll keep
okay.
So they've got adaptations. One of the short films in Sherlock Holmes' Eclair film series was based on it. Georges Trevet played Sherlock Holmes, and Mr. Moise played Dr. Watson. What, so 1968 television series Sherlock Holmes starring Peter Cushing, they dramatized story for 6 episode. How, okay, so that's something where I'm like, so you're doing a 1968 TV detective show, you get 6 in and you're already doing Bascom Valley Mystery, like, mm-hmm. I don't know, that doesn't make, like, for a great show. They And also, Charles McCarthy's first name has been changed to Bill. Okay. I don't know. Did they just not have access to the book because it wasn't easier? Were they like, oh, it's the 60s, man. No one wants to hear about a Charles. Get a Bill in there. A 2011 episode of the radio series. So there was still, in the 2000s, they had the classic adventures of Sherlock Holmes on the BBC radio. That feels like, was that something people were demanding, or is that just like a law there where they have to have Sherlock Holmes stories on the radio all the time? I did want to see if there was like, I don't know, I guess there's not going to be any trivia. Here's the Baker Street wiki. Let's see if this has any trivia to look at, any bloopers. Oh, trivia. Okay. Holmes was first seen wearing a deerstalker in Sidney Paget's illustration for this story, although Sir Arthur Conan Doyle never wrote Holmes as wearing one. Okay. Dr. Watson appears to have no familiarity with Ballarat in this story, despite apparently having been there before. This was mentioned in his description of illicit mining there in The Sign of Four. Hope someone got fired for
I
that blunder.
I feel that. My parents traveled with me so much, and I'm like, I've been there? I don't fucking know. Like, who cares? I can't be remembering every place I go.
Yeah, it's also very funny, because on the one hand, you're like, he couldn't come up with a second location in Australia, but then you're like, I don't know, back then, maybe there wasn't a second location in Australia. That's the only one. Anyway, review, like, I want something where a guy gets murdered, but also there's, like, a weirder, compelling mystery. Like, it feels like, I don't know if this is still just too early. It feels like, now that I know that, like, the first detective story, the solution was an orangutan did it, I'm kind of, like, a little underwhelmed by some of these. I'm like, well, can't you put weird circumstance and guy got murdered, like, together? But it feels like, at this point, that hasn't quite been established yet. It either has to be weird circumstance or just someone got killed in, like, a pretty pedestrian way. Like, got killed by a rock. That's how, like, the first murder happened. That was most murders where guy got hit with rock for a long time, is my understanding. But, all right. That's a fun bit. Caveman detective. I mean, that's kind of like an unfrozen caveman lawyer, but, like, you know, it's maybe you do like a Columbo thing where he's like walking out of the cave. He's like, yes, yes, me understand. Actually, me just have one more question. Why no mention pretty red rock on cave shelf? Anyway. I don't know. I didn't really like it. Like, I feel bad. I feel like I feel Sarah's gonna listen and be like, oh no, that Andrew's doing a blasphemy. I didn't really like it. I kind of want to give it like a one. I didn't like this one. I don't know. Should I give it a two? I didn't. I kind of give it a one. I really find this one interesting.
All right. I'm going to give this a 3.5. Obviously, the story would have benefited from, like, more suspects.
Yeah.
That's the big problem. Just like Sherlock Holmes stories for me, it's, like, more about the character.
Sure.
You get to see him be super mean to a cop all episode,
No, that's fine. I mean, he did that before in what to me was a more interesting story. So maybe I'm ranking it kind of versus the other ones. Which I don't know if that's fair. I think either way, I agree that was fun. I do think that was fun. All right. Two. I'll give it a two.
Yes. I liked him bullying a cop and being super weird to Watson and going out of his way to mention that the guy in custody is a stupid, handsome guy. And I also liked the angle of Holmes being like, you can solve it better if you assume this guy is actually telling the truth about everything, because that is what I think one of the most annoying things about House is that he's always like, everyone lies all the time. Sure. And you're often like, no, sometimes they have no reason to, what are you talking about? And being like, and when he's a dumb, handsome guy, he doesn't have the capacity to lie.
That's true.
Chef's kiss.
Himbos. Yeah. Justice for himbos. They, I think that the, did you see, I at this point, like, I feel like I barely see any SNL sketches. Did you see that one? I think it was a recent one, because I guess they've started new episodes, but, like, with, they have the writers, the actor, the cast is, like, not, that's, like, not covered by SAG, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know, because they had one with, I think, did the football guy who's dating Taylor Swift host or something?
He did a while ago. That's an old episode.
Oh, okay. Has he always been a famous football guy? For some reason, I thought...
Yeah, he's okay. Super famous. He did, like, a reality show in 2017. And, yeah, like, I had not heard about it at all. But he is, like, a big, big, big famous football player.
Okay, yeah. I'm not trying to be... I'm, like, not, like, trying to deliberately be, like, Taylor's dating a sports ball? What? Like, I'm not trying to do, like...
No, I had the exact same thing. Like, Yeah, like me and Katie are in a group chat with our straight friend from NYU. And so we've been having this whole experience of him being like, no, he's very famous. He's a big deal. And us being like, oh, wow, interesting.
It's not like I'd never heard of him. Like, I know Roethlisberger because he, like, did an assault. And I know, like, it was Marshawn Lynch was the one in...
Yeah, I know about him because he's, like, funny. He was on Will Arnett's show.
Was he the one who was in, God, what the movie that just came out? Bottoms.
Yeah, yeah, he's that guy.
Yeah,
he's, like, really funny. That's why I know him, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I know, like, them. I know, like, the weird, like, Christian ones. You know who I'm talking about? I think they might have also done the crypto. Anyway, point being, this is, people are like, even like people who aren't that into football are yelling because it's like an incredibly famous person. He played for the Patriots, but he has a brother who played for the Pistons. The Pistons is a basketball team, the Broncos.
I don't know.
Okay, wait, it is bothering me a little now. It's like Manning. Did you say Manning?
Yeah.
Yeah, Manning.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Anyway, one of them, like, I think he might be the one who kisses his son on the lips.
That's Tom Brady, right?
That's Brady. Thank you. That Brady is the Christian one. I don't think Manning is Christian, or at least not, like, overwhelmingly.
Yeah, they look like they would be Mormon, but I think that's just their faces.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, you're right. Tom Brady, I think, was the one who kissed his son on the lips, which, of course, had the discourse of, like, you know, you could kiss your son on the lips without being a pedophile. And it's like, look, I'm sure he's not a pedophile, but we can all admit it's weird, right? Like, it's fine. Like, I don't think it's, you know, I don't think he's, like, doing anything
right.
inappropriate.
Yeah, I'm not, like, calling CPS.
Yeah, but, like, let's all just acknowledge that's weird. Like, I think it's fine to be like, that's weird. Anyway, there was that sketch. I saw someone share it recently. I thought it was a recent episode, but only because someone, like, shared with me the straight male friend.
Yes, that was so good.
That's fun. They still, I mean, hey, they can still, I believe if they were given more control instead of, you know, the producers trying to just make a new Gilly all the time. They just want a new Gilly they can market. Thank goodness, though, if it was another age, we might have gotten the Gilly movie, and we never had to get that, so that's good. Anyway, all right, well, that's been the episode. Lenny, what do you want to shout out? I bet you think of me. Did I say that right, or wait?
I bet you think about me.
I bet you think about me. Okay, yeah, yeah.
I Bet You Think About Me by Lenny Burnham on Amazon Kindle Store. It's fun, short-ish story. I think it's like, I want to say it's like 50 pages on Kindle, but I pack in a lot of sex. It's very fun. And you can also follow me on X at Lenny Burnham.
Oh my God. X is not a great place to be right now. It's, I mean, it's almost never a great place to be.
I am technically on Blue Sky, but it's like, I open it and, like, follow back everyone from Twitter who's followed me, and then that's it.
I'm also on Blue Sky. Do we follow each other yet? We can...
I don't even remember. We should, I guess.
I don't know. Yeah, we can. Yeah, that's, like, honestly the thing. Part of me, because Elon Musk at one point was like, maybe I'll start charging everyone to use Twitter. And I was like, thank you. Like, that would free me. Like, I don't know exactly how I would best let everyone know there's a new episode of House of House. But other than that, it'd be like, yes, I need this. And, like, I've told that to Liz, and, like, she's like, well, you could just stop using it. It's like, no, you don't get it.
No
that's not how it works. I need it to be cut off from me. And I would love for him to do that, because right now it's just, especially when we're at a time where some real rough stuff is happening, and you know, it's just, I don't know, for some reason, creating a system that incentivizes the most bad faith racist liars to get as much attention as possible doesn't seem to have created a valuable discourse. But Who could say? Who could say? Who knew what it would be? Anyway, so yeah, but I like go on Blue Sky. I remember when people in well-meaningly were like, you know, oh, Blue Sky has you know, anti-black moderation policies, so we're going on a posting strike. And it's like, how will that posting strike look much different than the regular day-to-day reality on Blue Sky? Good, yeah, very well-meaning, good idea, you know, great. I certainly support the cause, but also it's you know, it's tough to get another thing going. I mean, that was the that's the benefit of buying up a thing, and then, you know, the downside of destroying it is that it's tough. I still haven't tried out Threads. I don't know. I've heard I wonder, cuz I heard some initial rough stuff, but I'm wondering if the more people look for an alternative, if maybe they'll look more there. But I've heard people be like, oh, it just shows you a random assortment of people. It doesn't even show you like who you follow. And I'm like, yeah, well, isn't that what we've been dealing with for the last however long? Anyway, sorry. Yeah, hey, October 26th, we have a very special spooky edition of the Murder Mystery Comedy Show at Young Ethel's at 5:30. So come out. You can go drink afterwards. Drink there, too. I don't know. Just drink. Yeah, andrewtaven.com. Keep you posted on whatever I'm doing. And hey, thanks for listening. And from all of us here at the House of House Gaiden, have yourself